Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What a beautiful time. Our sermon text for today will be taken from Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. You can remain seated. This is not a gospel text. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to begin at verse 1. We're going to read through verse 8, continuing in Jesus' name. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but the whoremonger and the adulterer God will judge. Let your conscience be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is our helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have rule over you, and have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. We oftentimes, Father, have a tendency to wander in our mind. We're frail. We also, Father, have a tendency to read into things of what we want, and we ask that you would empty us of this thing. We ask, Father, by your Spirit, that you would encourage us and strengthen us and sanctify us in the truth. Allow your word to speak, for we know your word is truth. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Hebrews is a very powerful book. Has a lot of great instruction. And that's one thing that I think often that we kind of wander around and meander around a lot in our lifetime is, you know, what kind of instruction should we have and what kind of instruction should we not have? And then we don't even make statements like, I wish God would just tell me what he wants. Well, he does. He speaks to us very boldly in his word. He speaks to us very boldly in the understanding of the proclaimed word. And first and foremost, he speaks to us one of the most important things that ever could be. He speaks life. He speaks life. He speaks forgiveness. He speaks encouragement. And yes, he speaks righteousness. There's no way around that. And oftentimes, human beings, we get caught up on that side of righteousness, thinking that we can gain the righteousness ourselves by doing some great act. But that is not the righteousness that he speaks of. He speaks of an imputed righteousness, a foreign righteousness outside of ourselves that is given to us. He speaks of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. You remember him? Jesus the Christ? What does that mean? So many times in our life we think Jesus Christ is his first and last name, like John Smith. He is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one that has laid his life down in our behalf. He is the gift. Not only to you and to me, he is the gift to the world. Do we remember whom he is and what he has done? Do we remember the gift he has given, eternal life to all those that cling to his name? Do we remember? We often will remember our issues in our life. We will remember, as we call it, the sin in our life, the struggle in our life, and we definitely will remember our neighbors. But do we know the atoning work? Do we know the love of God shown forth in and through his Son for the world? Do we know? And when we speak of love, do we have that love one for another? And do we have that encouragement one for another? Do we see one another as great individuals, not in flesh and in self, but rather great individuals that Christ has purchased? And do we share that love? Hebrews, a very interesting book. A lot of the church fathers argued over it, whether it belonged within the scripture or not. Luther himself said it had weak points. The author itself is kind of debated all the time, whether it's Paul or Apollos. That doesn't matter. Because what it comes down to is that the Spirit is found within this book. And the Spirit breathes life to those that would read it and those that would encourage one another in and through it. The author opens very, very strongly in the 13th chapter, verse 1. What does he say? What does the author speak? First thing, let brotherly love continue. The author must have experienced it. He doesn't say start having brotherly love. He doesn't say hope for this kind of love. He says, may it continue. What you have received, what you have understood, the encouragement that you have taken, allow that to continue and continue to grow. That we would have this love one for another, not just for our God, but to understand our God has redeemed us. And that we would have this love one for another. The scripture is full of examples. How can we turn around and say that we love somebody but yet hate our brother? It's impossible. He says, allow this brotherly love to continue. Don't be neglectful to what? Show hospitality to strangers. Be encouraged with what you have received. Jesus Christ has paid the ransom for you. That's first and foremost. Jesus Christ has paid the ransom for you. He says, do not neglect, do not forget, do not be slothful in showing love and companionship to other people. And he even says the word strangers. To those that you do not know. Do we have that tendency? Or do we have a tendency actually to show more love to individuals that we really like? To show more love to individuals that we understand? And when we come from the aspect of stranger, is it only a stranger for someone that we've never met before? Or can a stranger also be someone that may not think exactly like me? You might think I'm crazy, but how many times have you looked at someone that you know and said, boy, he's a strange one. He's an odd duck. They don't get much odder than me. The fact of it is that this strangeness is not an excuse for us not to be hospitable, not to be encouraging. That whoever we run into, whether we have a knowledge of them or not, that we would always be encouraging, we'd always be loving, and we'd always be sharing. Sharing. Sharing not only what we have, but also what we have received. Because He first gave to us. He says, therefore, he says, by this, he says, some people that have dared to actually show hospitality to strangers, they've actually entertained angels unaware. Messengers unaware. God's servants unaware. There's great examples of this in the Old Testament, isn't there? Absolutely. But do you think it ends in the Old Testament? And then what it really speaks to me, it speaks volumes about the fact of we may think somebody is strange, we may think somebody really is unknown, but yet God knows them. And He has given them a purpose to enter into our lives, that we would be impacted by them. Do we give opportunity? Do we have the love for another individual that we also would want to share what God has given to us? That He has given us His grace. And He has allowed us by faith to hold on to this and to maintain this. And that we have the opportunity to share it. That another person would be encouraged. Have our churches become cliquish groups where we identify people by the handshake? We identify people by the appearance? Or we identify people by whose boy or whose girl they are? Are we bold enough to live in the confidence of Jesus Christ? To actually understand and hear what He speaks when He says that God so loved this world. Not just the APs, not just the old apps, not just the first apps, not just the Baptists, not just the Methodists, not just the Catholics. Where do I stop? God so loved the world. He gave a gift to the world. His only begotten Son. Now whosoever shall what? Believe in Him would have eternal life. Do we see the opportunities around us? Each and every one of us has opportunity to reach so many people. I've really sensed this out at Camp Lucky, and I'm not going to turn this into a Lucky speech. But we've had so many different groups coming out there. I praise God for that. But yet it also is a little bit disheartening. Because when I look out in the yard and I watch the people fellowshipping and I watch them playing, I watch them just spending time together as family and as friends and encouraging one another, I also see Christians. I see Christians. But oftentimes I see Christians that are stuck with a title, a stigma. And what I really see when I see it, when I look out the window of that farmhouse and I'm watching them all out there, I see brothers and sisters in Christ who just don't know it. And you know who wins? The adversary. The adversary wins. Because he keeps us divided. He keeps us divided over different things that are just foolishness. Instead of being founded in the finished work of Jesus Christ and encouraged, he says, don't forget to now entertain those, to be hospitable to those strangers. He says, because in this fact, you have entertained angels unaware. And I've experienced this. This week I had a group of people out at Lucky, and they were angels. Oh, we always think little fluttery things, you know, with cute little wings and all this other stuff. They showed love. Not only to one another, but also to Judy. They showed love in their actions. They showed love in how they provided for us. Not just with encouragement, and not just with gifts, but even with fellowship. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do we forget? Do we forget? Are we allowing the adversary to win because we think we have to dictate who is in and who is out? He says, remember those individuals that are in prison. And really what he's speaking about here, the author is speaking very strongly about those saints that have been persecuted, probably under Nero, persecuted and put into prison. For standing strong in their faith. But we also have that opportunity too. We also have the opportunity to continue to pray for those individuals, to lift them up, to remember them, to pray for them daily, that God would provide, because we have it in this day and age. We may not see it here in America, because we're all sitting around sulking like somebody licked the frosting off our cake. But we have freedoms in this nation that we don't even understand. We're giving them away. And this is not political, it's common sense. When we turn around and think we do not have the freedoms that we have, we lose them. We have freedom. And we also, as Brother had said, have the freedom to pray and to worship and to gather in Christ's name here in America. And we have the opportunity to pray for all of them out in this world that are in prisons and persecuted and killed and martyred for Christ's name's sake. Do we remember this? Or am I too comfortable? Too comfortable cruising around in my Mustang thinking I'm all that? Am I too comfortable sitting on my boat? Am I too comfortable in my job? Am I too comfortable in certain areas? Do I realize the blessings that I have, that God has immensely blessed me and blessed you is what I'm speaking? And we have the opportunity to lift these individuals in prayer moment by moment. It's real. Israel. He says, remember those who were in prison. He says, I want you to actually understand it's just as you're in prison with them, because your brother and sister in faith are being persecuted, and it should, in reality, bring sting to you that another is suffering. That is a love. He says, and those, he says, that are mistreated. You got to understand what he's saying here is you also are being mistreated. When the Christian liberties are taken from individuals and different individuals in different parts of this country or this world, you also suffer, because those are your same liberties. Do we have a concern for those? Do we have a desire for those? And do we lift them before that they would be encouraged? For one. And he turns around and he really brings some more instruction that I think, man alive, I don't know if I want to read this next part. I remember when I first started preaching. I started preaching in one of the congregations I was in. I was instructed by another individual not to preach on the text in Matthew about divorce. Don't even touch it. Well, you know me, I'm not the brightest. The fact of it is, divorce is a terrible thing. Divorce was never meant to be. There's no doubt about it. But it's a fact of life. And oftentimes what we do in our church, and I'm talking about in the whole Federation, is we sweep it under the carpet. We pretend it's not there. We make some sort of silly, stupid rule that says we will never marry anyone that's been divorced in our congregation. Really? But yet we will tell them, you go somewhere else, get married, and we'll come back in and we'll bless you and forgive you. That's okay, but we just can't do the dirty work. That's what we say. Whether you like it or not, people, that's what we say. And don't worry, I'm not rumoring. I've told this to the Central Board. We need to face the reality. We live in a broken world. We live in a fallen world. We deal with difficulty. We deal with sting. And we deal with sin. We deal with struggles. And we cannot ignore parts of Scripture just because they don't fit to us. I love my family. I'm not speaking negatively about my family, but I have to face divorce because so far, Judy and I are the only ones in my family that's not divorced. And I have a love for every one of my brothers, my mother, my father. It's time to get real. How? I would like someone to explain to me how divorce is the unforgivable sin. Last I knew it was blasphemy. We have forgiveness for people in so many areas, but when it comes to this difficult place, we don't have forgiveness. Why? That's sad. May we repent. May we find the heart of forgiveness. I don't want to speak about this today. My daughter was barely married for a year and she was divorced. She's getting married today. She's getting married today. And I'm going to do the wedding. I love my daughter. And I know God loves me. And you guys have no category of sin compared to mine. But yet I know God forgives me, as He also forgives me. And I've watched this congregation, and I'm so proud of this congregation for loving my daughter in and through this situation and encouraging her. What has that spoken? I'm speaking freely today because she's not here. She's getting ready for her wedding. What does that speak? This congregation, by the grace of God, loved my daughter through that situation. And what have you seen? She's been here almost every Sunday. Brotherly love continue. Let's not think ourselves, as the second reading said, more highly than we ought. Because Jesse's not all that. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But what I'm speaking about here is the aspect of, don't ever discredit marriage because of our own dirty circumstances, because of our own struggles. Let marriage be held in honor among all. If you are married now, If you are married at this moment, I want you to understand that marriage is a gift of God. I know women, sometimes it may not feel that way. It may not feel like the biggest gift from God. But the fact of it is, marriage is a very, very powerful thing. It mimics the relationship that we have with our Savior. In the good times and the bad times, He continually loves us. And you have opportunity, men and women, to learn to mimic the relationship of God the Father with His people by continuing to love those that are difficult. We forget sometimes the vows that we make. We forget sometimes that even God has given us a helpmeet. Do we even know what that means? Helpmeet is where one is weak, the other will be strong. And where the other is weak, the other will be strong. Have you experienced that? I have. Marriage is a gift from God. Even if your marriage is difficult, seek Him in and through that marriage. Communicate. Not just the husband communicate, the wife. But then also I'm going to ask you this question. Do you listen? Do you listen to your significant other when they are communicating? Or are we too worried about putting our opinions out there? What we know. Listen. Because God has given you a gift. Let marriage be held in honor among all. May we honor those that are married. May we not treat it as a toy or as a novelty. Next week we get the opportunity, don't we, to celebrate marriage here in this church. Put Becca and Levi and put a plug in. May it be held in honor. May we look to these young individuals that are coming to the altar and may we encourage them. One time I was going through some real difficult time and I had to counsel someone that was literally on the brink of divorce and I didn't know what to do. You know, that's just a fact. I didn't know what to do. Married 24 years at the time, didn't know what to do. So Jesse, you know, he gets into his mindset, well, how am I going to fix this? How am I going to fix this? How am I going to fix this? And my wife, once again, you're not going to fix it. He will fix it. I called the couple to come meet me at the church. They don't attend this church. I asked them to meet me at the church and I didn't know what else to do. So I took this. And I stood here and I waited for them. I said, come on down. We went through the vows. And I made them. I asked them. I can't say I made them. But I asked them to repeat their vows. By the end of it, God was bringing healing. By the end of it, they realized what they had promised 30 years before. By the end of it, they realized even probably the feelings that they felt standing there 30 years before. Marriage is a beautiful gift. And if you have gone through divorce, please, please do not think there is not forgiveness. There is nobody, I do not believe there is anybody that comes to an altar rail to be married to seek for divorce. Please feel the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Please feel the forgiveness of the hurt that you've gone through. Please feel the forgiveness that even our church at times has put upon you because we don't know how to handle things and we act like children. Feel the forgiveness. And if you've entered into another marriage, embrace that second chance. You say there's no second chances. That's garbage. We have a God of second chances. For He loved us so much. He gave His name. Allow this to be honored. Allow marriage to be honored. And understand God gives through the marriage bed opportunity for you to enjoy yourself. Not much I'm going to say about that. And those in reality that are living outside of the bounds of this, I think this we take as a threat all the time. God will judge with the sexual immoral and the adulteress. And you know what that says to me? That's His job. That's His job. But as I would ask you and I would ask anybody else and I've asked my own son, what do you have against marriage? because you've watched other people flounder? Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is a beautiful gift. And it is an encouragement. May we always cherish the gifts that God has given us. May we offer forgiveness one to another. May we even forgive one that has offended us as a mate before. And may we move forward with our lives and look on the finished work of Jesus Christ and be encouraged that God loves us. He says, keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. And that is a problem in our day and age, isn't it? Being content with what God has given us. Being content in the position that we're at. We have a tendency, Jesse does all the time, to look over at Steve Erickson and wonder why he's doing so good. Oh, sorry, Steve. But you see what I mean. Am I not doing good? I'm doing awesome. I'm doing awesome. I live in one of the greatest nations in this world. I have more wealth than a majority of this world. Just to have shoes on my feet puts me in the top 10 easily in this world. We are highly favored. We are greatly blessed. May we be content. Content in what He has given to us. May we get up tomorrow morning and go do our job. May we not seek for someone else to hand it to us. May we actually have the integrity to work, as even Scripture says. But may we also be thankful. Because you know what? If we learn to be thankful, we'll find we'll have much more. Much more. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content, because money will never bring you satisfaction. He says, for He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. That is the greatest gift. We have so much. God Himself says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The world will leave you. Friends will leave you. Businesses will leave you. Financial things will leave you. They fleet faster than anything. Someone's always trying to get in your pocket. But God will never leave you. He says, so we say confidently, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is. Once again, dealing back in this aspect of what we gain by the finished work of Jesus Christ. He is our all in all. The Lord is my helper. I will not live in fear in this world. What can man do to me when Christ has redeemed me? Remember your leaders and those that spoke the word of God, the Christian leaders in this world, the Christian leaders that stand before you. And yes, I think we ought to bring this to our government. Remember them, even as another part of Scripture speaks, that God has put them there for a purpose. Pray for them. Pray for them daily. It is not a great job. Pray for them. But remember those that have spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their life. In other words, how their life is going. He says, and actually imitate what? Them? Doesn't say them. Read what it says. Imitate their faith. That's what we do. Paul says, follow me as I am a follower of Christ. Imitate the faith. I seek to do that often. Do you know whose faith I seek to imitate? God has given her as a helper. And no matter what happens in my life, she's always telling me to look to God. That is a powerful thing. And I'm not highlighting Judy. God has given it. I know what a goof she can be. It's not by her own ability. Boy, do I praise God that He has given her such a faith. He will give us this. Do we pray for it? Even Acts asks this, do we pray for the Holy Spirit? He continues to go on and he says very straightforward, no matter what's happening in this world, I might be adding that part, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His constant love, His constant mercy, and His grace is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we deal with our neighbors, may we show that grace. When we deal with strangers, may we show that grace. When we deal with our marriages, may we show that grace. And when we deal with one another in the way we live in this world, monetary or whatever, may we show that grace. Because Jesus does not change. God to do this. In His goodness and in His sake. Amen. Let's unite hearts with us.